It's time for Vampire Blob.
That's right, folks. Vampire Blob. 5 years ago, I created a radio play, Taste the Blood of Vampire Blob. With a producer, Johnny Brick, and an amazing all-star cast, the play was recorded live and broadcast on Fresh Air Radio Edinburgh. But now I'm bringing you a special Halloween encore presentation of Taste the Blood of Vampire Blob. Remember to enjoy the great music composed by Brett Heisman originally for the silent film Vampire Blob: Silent Fangs of Horror. And enjoy the vocal stylings of Samuel J. Taunton, Kate Deans, and myself in my first radio role. The play has been split into two parts for your listening enjoyment. Stream them both today on heroblob.wordpress.com. And now, without further ado, the original live broadcast recording of Taste the Blood of Vampire Blob.
Welcome to Taste the Blood of Vampire Blob. Years ago, through the vile commixture of the blood of a superhero with that of a vampire, a horrible half-breed mutant creature was born, known to the world as Vampire Blob. With the ability to turn into any amount of blood, the creature has no natural need to consume the life of human beings. Nonetheless, he has wandered the countryside of Innocentville for years, seeking human blood as a diversion and a hobby. As the hero Blob sought to punish Vampire Blob for his crimes, Vampire Blob finally fled from his hometown of Innocentville to seek a new life elsewhere, where he can pursue his bloody pastime without danger of interruption. So opens our story today as, from the darkened skies, Vampire Blob descends in the form of a grotesque and misshapen bat. Landing on the ground and transforming into his humanoid form, the creature raises its foul and warped head to look upon the city below. From that city will proceed a dangerous curse on the entire world, a pestilence which spreads faster than a plague, a disgusting menace of those who taste the blood of Vampire Blob. Finally, looking down upon the darkened city, the creature speaks.
Hunted, despised, driven out like an animal. The world hated me. My bride abandoned me. But I will show the world that a vampire is not to be taken lightly and tossed away like last week's garbage. From this, my perch on the city's highest hill, I will pour forth like a liquid shadow, and I will drive a stake of fear into the very hearts of this city. I will kill and maim as never I have done before, and all secretly, under the embrace of darkness which nightly covers over the world. Only the silent disk of the moon shall bear witness to my crimes, and the hateful goddess Hecate shall laugh mirthlessly at my sanguinously sloppy deeds. If I am to be denied love, then this world shall be denied life, beginning with the city of Red Town. The reign of humans is ended. Now the world shall witness the advent of the reign of the Vampire Blob!
With that, he raises up to full height, and with a final flourish of his cape, he begins to descend into the city. Meanwhile, in Innocentville, Hero Blob interviews the mayor, a former victim of Vampire Blob's bite.
It was horrible! I gave him food, an excellent conversation, and he repaid me by biting my neck and making me into a zombie slave! And I'd still be one today if you hadn't turned into magical anti-vampire zombification juice.
Well, the ability to turn into any liquid, which I have, sure does come in handy. So, you say all this happened during the week I was out of town?
Yes, and he almost got my daughter, Katerina.
Really? Where is she now?
Oh, she ran away and eloped with the ugly kid who used to feed my chickens. And valiant chickens they were. They drove the Vampire Blob out of town.
That's right, because chickens are the natural enemies of witches and vampires, since they herald by their cries the coming of the day. But if they just drove him away and didn't kill him, then he may still be out there somewhere. I swear to you, Mayor Kettle, that I will not stop until I've found this vampire freak.
And back in Redtown, a European figure walks alone through the park, garbed in an incongruous turban and a rakishly open-collared shirt.
Such a glorious evening have I never known in my multitudinous years of foppery. The night air is so dazzlingly wet against my skin, like the glistening ambrosia of a lover's kiss. That is why I, the worst of sinners, Lord Byron, feel that this is the most appropriate time for my nightly perambulation through the park. If this evening were a woman, then I, Lord Byron, would already have brought it to such heights of ravishment as have never been felt before. Oh, would that the very planet itself were a woman, that I might conquer its peaks and valleys and, in a rush of volcanic, earth-shattering passion, give birth to whole new solar systems and populate the skies with my progeny as I have filled the earth. Oh, I am such a fine cur. If the earth were to swallow me up, it would be not as a passionate gesture given to a lover, but as divine retribution for my manifold days of sinful excess. Oh, I am such a dog, such a glorious, attractive dog. The feeling of being me, Lord Byron, fills me with such delight that I am unable to avoid composing more lines of perfect pentameter to add to my already formidable folios of delectable verse. I am the best in all of Britain land. My promiscuity is not a fad, and in my presence women cannot stand. Wherefore the world is calling me a cad. Oh, oh, how marvelous! Another winner to add to my collection. Well now, who's this approaching? A dark figure in exotic garb. How tantalizingly terrible. What ho?
Blah! Why do you block my path, human? Beware my hunger.
Oh, darling, what a quaint oriental garb you have on. Who is your tailor?
I fought my own clothes. Oh, out of blood! Now get out of my way or face my wrath!
Oh, you celestials and your secrets. Really, you must let me try on your cloak.
Are you mad, so to taunt a vampire?
Only mad about that cloak? Dear me, it must be mine. Here, let us make a trade. Simply give me that cloak and I can give you this. A folio of my poems, signed by that greatest of poets, the greatest of sinners, me, Lord Byron.
You draw my ire, foolish human. Know you not that I am the great blight upon the earth, who, only weeks ago, destroyed nearly all of Innocentville? You think yourself the worst of all sinners? You know nothing of sin until you have plumbed my dark, sticky, gore-encrusted skull. Am I not sin itself in given form in a blasphemous mixing of hero and villain? Am I not Vampire Blob?
Dear me, what a fright you gave me. That speech, it verily gave me the chills. You know, you have the makings of a poet in you. You should join me and my friends Mary and Percy as we spin tales of terror for the wonderment of all.
I join no one. I am a solitary creature, fit only for brooding and hating.
Well, I am a gregarious creature, fit only for breeding and loving. A solitary life sounds boring to me. What you need is a woman.
I need nothing but for you to clear yourself from my path, benighted fool. Now is your last chance. Move or face the wrath of Vampire Blob.
Silly, silly thing. Give me that cloak.
No, no. Get back. Don't walk forward with that rapacious look in your eyes.
I must have that cloak. Give it to me.
No, don't reach for my cloak. Let go.
Not until I have that cloak. Give it over.
That's it, you fool. You've brought this on yourself. I will now suck your blood.
What? Oh, ow, ow. What are you doing with those fangs? Oh, ow, ow. Hey. You're sucking my blood. How deliciously macabre. Wait until Mary hears about this. Oh, oh, dear me. Oh.
Finally, that fool is done for. But that was just a snack. I need better, younger blood. Preferably with fewer venereal diseases. I hate the taste of syphilis. Hmm. Oh, hmm. That smell! Fresh young blood, it emanates from there!
And so, smelling a sanguine scent which scintillates his senses, Vampire Blob rushes forward like a leathery, freak-headed shadow. He flies on fast feet right towards the doors of the Red Town General Hospital. Entering the hospital, Vampire Blob slinks through the corridors toward the ample blood bank housed within. As he passes the door to room 417, however, his ear holes prick up as he hears a snippet of the conversation occurring within.
More blood? You need more blood? These transfusions are costing me a fortune. Selene, you're like a little vampire sucking the life out of my paycheck. And you know what? I'm not paying anymore. There'll be no more transfusions for you. Good night.
As the angered man storms out of the hospital room, Vampire Blob, sensing his impending discovery, exercises his power to turn into any type of blood. Morphing into a puddle, he lingers on the floor outside of the room as the man impetuously storms past. Moments later, he yet remains at the door and hears from inside the short sobs of a little girl. Stony and bristling with thorns as it is, Vampire Blob's heart is moved by the stifled and sickly sounds of the maiden's moaning. He reforms and heads inside, seeking to give what comfort he can. It is when he steps inside, his massive figure filling the doorway, that he remembers the fear which his horrible face instills in all who behold it. He is a harbinger of death, unfit to give comfort or to strengthen. And surely as the tide ebbs and flows in a chilly October night, beneath the silvery rays of the moon, a look of terrible fear passes into the child's eyes, like the shock of an electric bolt. But it lingers only momentarily, and is replaced with a look first of resignation, then of comfort.
"Have you come to bring me my death, then?"
The girl's response to his presence takes aback the creature of horror. His reply, when finally it comes, is calculated.
"Why should I bring your death, my dear?"
"By reason of the consumption which plagues my insides, or the blood which is constantly needing replacement within me, or simply because I am an unloved child who is a burden to a hateful father, a girl who deserves neither life nor breath. So then, angel, bring forward this death. I am prepared for it, and I embrace it."
"Oh, my dear Sing, I am a harbinger of death for some, but my heart inexplicably beats, dead flesh that it is, in sympathy with you. The warmth of love which fills me bars me from imbibing your lifeblood, dear child. And therefore I ask you, I implore you, embrace not death, but rather embrace me!"
And with that, the great beast, terror of millions, takes in his arms the child Selene, embracing her as the object of a pure, unhateful love. And for the first time, the object of his love is filled with the same feeling, sensing that this being, this creature, is, like her, the victim of disdain and hate. And the two sit, wrapped in sympathy, on the girl's unkindly uncomfortable hospital bed. But, of a sudden, the sound of a hand at the door interrupts their revelry. Turning his head, Vampire Blob immediately transforms into blood, and Selene is splashed with the sticky red substance.
Splash!
The door begins to open.
No, this will not do. It is not natural for a girl to be covered thusly in blood.
The door opens a bit further.
There must be somewhere for me to go, somewhere to hide.
Catching his eye in the light of the opening door, the ivy in Selene's arm glimmers.
Aha! In the form of blood, none shall notice me if I seclude myself in your body. What is your blood type, little girl?
A negative. Why?
A delicious, I mean, fantastic type.
The girl's question why is not answered. Before the girl can utter further syllables of questioning tones, before the door can fully open, Vampire Blob has poured his fully liquid form into the vein of the blushing girl.
Selene, dear, it is I, Julia. Or have you forgotten your nurse? Why have you that odd look in your eyes?
Oh, I have just met the most marvelous fellow, and I suppose I am still a bit shocked. Besides you, he is the only decent person I've met in my entire stay at this hospital.
Oh, my dearest, that can't be true. In 7 years, you must have met some decent people.
No, dear Julia, no. No one wishes to associate with a girl who has consumption. And my father is the worst. His hateful gaze is ever upon me, driving me ever further into the depths of despair.
Oh, my dear, I am certain he does love you.
No, he does not. His love is reserved for mammon and the flesh of older women. He saves no measure of it for me. Today I was told that I require yet another transfusion of blood. Father, calling me a vampire, stormed out of the room. I think he shall pay for no more transfusions.
Oh, you poor dear, that makes 7.
Yes, 7 transfusions to keep alive a worthless, bedridden child.
Oh, you poor thing, here, allow me to embrace you. There, isn't that better?
Yes, you are like a mother to me in place of my own, and I do love you so. Your embrace gives me strength. In fact, I have felt stronger ever since you walked into the room.
And, my, you verily look stronger. I see the ruddiness of a strong youth pour into your face. Celine, I must call in the doctor. Perhaps you have no need of another transfusion after all.
Vampire Blob oozes out of the girl's pores, reforming into his solid self before the now alone Celine.
Oh, no. Now that you and your miracle blood have left me, shall I return to my sickness-riddled self?
May it never be so, my little dear. My power is such that I can become an infinite amount of blood. I have left plenty of healthy blood within you to sustain you.
Oh, thank you. Always I shall remember this, my friend.
Oh, it was nothing, my dear. Now, tell me about that beauteous nurse who was just here.
You mean Julia? She's been my only companion this whole time. When everyone else abandoned me, when there seemed no hope of survival for me, she nonetheless carried on as my friend, and always offered a warm hug when I needed it most. Through the most hopeless of times, she gave me hope.
Then she is truly a woman worthy of being my bride. I must!
But his thought is cut short, as in rushes the woman Julia herself. Julia stops and... screams!
What is that thing?
Wait, Julia, calm yourself. This is the true maker of my new healthful condition. This is my savior, Vampire Blob.
You're what?
Let me explain. I can turn into any amount of blood and any type, and therefore I was able to supply clean, immortal blood for Celine, so that she will never need another transfusion.
Why then, you've saved her life.
Yes, I suppose I have. I never expected to something like this, to be a hero, a bringer of life instead of death.
If you've saved Celine, then you're not just a hero, you're my hero.
And with that, Julia embraces the tall, dark figure that is Vampire Blob, taken aback. Vampire Blob considers for a moment, then finally returns the embrace. In that second, time seems to stop for them. Finally, Vampire Blob speaks.
You say that I am your hero, but I have only done what was easy with my natural abilities. You, on the other hand, stood by this girl when the world wanted to leave her to die. Without you, she would doubtlessly have slipped into despair. For that, Julia, you are my hero.
Suddenly, a thought strikes Julia's mind, the impact causing her to break the embrace.
Did you say you can turn into an infinite amount of blood?
Why, yes.
In any blood type?
Oh, of course. Why? Do you require a transfusion? I would gladly give you all the blood in my body.
Not I, Vampire Blob, but thousands of children around the world are in need of transfusions. Don't you see? With your power, with this amazing ability, you can save all those lives. You can be a hero, not just for me, but to the entire world.
Julia, My dear Julia, I care not for the accolades of this earth. But I, for some reason, some stirring in my heart, which I do not yet understand, do care about your wishes. If you ask it of me, I shall go around the world to heal all those whose sicknesses require a blood transfusion. I only ask of you one thing. Come with me. Let me carry you on my leathery wings as together we fight to save the world.
Oh, Vampire Blob, it would be the finest pleasure in the world for me to accompany you in such a task.
Oh, let us waste no more time. We must leave immediately. Every minute wasted is a life lost.
But as he walks to the window with Julia's hand in his own, he turns back, looking longingly at his new friend, Celine.
Celine, you must understand, cured though you are, you must stay here and rest. When we are done with our mission of saving lives, I promise we shall return to you to be your constant friends and companions for the remainder of your time on this earth.
I understand, Vampire Blob. The lives of others like me are hanging in the balance. I would never wish to jeopardize their survival. Go and save their lives.
Yes. Yes, I shall. But keep this.
He plucks from his head one of his decorative feathers, handing it to the girl.
And look on it as a reminder of me whenever you become lonely or sad.
Thank you, my friend. I shall cherish it.
And now, we go.
With that, Vampire Blob transforms, and the figure of a giant bat fills the room. The glass of the windows breaks, and Vampire Blob spreads his 25-foot wingspan, preparing for flight.
Climb onto my back, my dear Julia.
I'm ready, my love.
Goodbye, my dearest Celine. You have changed my life.
And you mine, Vampire Blob. Goodbye. Goodbye.
What a beautiful change of heart. What will happen next to our intrepid vampiric hero? You'll find out in the senses-shattering conclusion, beginning just a few moments from now. But in the meantime, please enjoy these advertisements for some products close to our hearts.
Hello, I'm Jim Barclay, here to tell you about Blue Coal, America's finest anthracite. Colored a harmless blue color at the mines, this distinctive coal burns cleaner and longer than our leading coals. That's right, it's Blue Coal. Buy a trial ton tomorrow. I thank you.
Hi, I'm Blob, everyone's favorite superhero. I can turn into any liquid. And I'm here to tell you about an amazing new video being offered from directors Shadal Luchin and Nicholas Nadeau. It's entitled Vampire Blob, Silent Fangs of Horror. Despite the fact that I, Blob, do not appear in the movie, it is one of the greatest cinematic masterpieces ever to be recorded. Therefore, you should purchase it as soon as possible for your own sake. Why deny yourself the pleasure of seeing the movie to which this radio play is the sequel? Just send an email with your name, address, and the words I want Vampire Blob to the email address heroblob@hotmail.com. Then I'll send you the address to which you can send £5. Yep, 5 measly pounds. What a deal. And then you can experience the full glory of the year's greatest silent film, Vampire Blob, Silent Fangs of Horror. It's Blobtabulous.
And so ends the first part of Taste the Blood of Vampire Blob. And I should point out that the silent film Vampire Blob, Silent Fangs of Horror is now available to stream online for free at imdb.com. Just search Vampire Blob. Now stream the spooky second part of Taste the Blood of Vampire Blob on heroblob.wordpress.com.